In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So as you heard, we started a series last week on how important grace is and how practical grace is in our lives. And we looked at how practical grace is when it comes to showing love to other people as we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, that famous love chapter of the Bible. And as Paul reminded us that there are plenty of things that we do in our lives that on the outside they look loving, they might seem that way, but when you look really to your heart and to your motivation, it's actually quite selfish. And so what we need then is something to change our hearts, to change us from the inside out. And that's what grace does. That's what God does for us through his grace, right? Giving us that undeserved gift of his love and his forgiveness. Now this morning, we're going to take a look at how practical grace is when it comes to forgiving other people as well, as we look at Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to look at 3 points when it comes to reclaiming practical grace. So we're going to look at the need for forgiveness, the signs of forgiveness, and then the source of forgiveness. So the needs, the need, the signs, and the source of forgiveness. Let's start with the need for forgiveness, and we're going to take a look again at Matthew 18. Our text begins as Peter, he approaches Jesus, and he asks him, "How many times should I forgive someone when they sin against me?" And Jesus responds to, as often he does, he tells a parable. He tells a spiritual story. And in this parable, he talks about this king, this wealthy king who called people to account, right, to pay back their debts to him. And one of his servants owed him an enormous debt. And it's hard to get an exact parallel of how much he actually owed him. But it would be present day millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. Just an enormous debt. Such a great debt that it could even affect the king's ability to rule, and it might even affect his kingdom. That great of a debt. And in an amazing show of mercy, this king, he forgives this servant his debt. He just forgives it. Now what Jesus is doing is he's comparing sin and sinning against someone to owing someone a debt. Right? When we sin against someone, we owe them. Or when they sin against us, we feel like we owe them back. Right? Now think about a world. Think about what our world would be like if we always did that. If we repaid people back when we owed them. Right? If we didn't forgive them, but we repaid them. Just think about what that world would be like. A couple of examples. Imagine what it would be like if parents did that to their children. As soon as their child turned 18, right, they sit their child down and they say, "Okay, time to settle accounts. You owe us, after 18 years, you owe us 7,000 diaper changes. You owe us 2 years of preschool, a year of kindergarten, 8 years of school. You owe us 4 years of high school, maybe even 4 years of college." Right? Oh yeah, and then all of the time that we spent running you around from, you know, practice to school to church to your friend's place to band to all those different areas, you owe us for that. Oh, and then 3 meals a day for 18 years. Oh yeah, and in your teenage years it was more like 5 meals a day. So you owe us for all of that. Whenever you've got it, just pay up. Now can you imagine a world like that? Right, we don't do that. We give those things to our children because it's a debt of love that we owe them, right? Or what would a marriage look like if we always paid our spouse back for what they did to us, right? You know what? He didn't clear his dishes. I'm not clearing my dishes. She didn't take out the trash. Well, I'm not taking it out either. He didn't empty the dishwasher after it was done running. I'm leaving the dishes in there too. Can you imagine a marriage where that was the way we acted? The kitchen alone would turn to pure chaos. What would our friendships look like if we repaid our friends for every wrong thing they did to us, or if they repaid us for every wrong thing that we did to them? Friendships would be cut short pretty quickly. We'd have a lot less friends in our lives. All right, the point is this, right? The world would be a far worse off if we didn't just forgive people. If we paid them back what we felt like we owed them. Without forgiveness, this world would be madness. It would be chaos. There is a desperate need then for us to know how to forgive and to forgive other people in our lives. So what does that forgiveness look like? What are the signs of forgiveness? Just look at our text. As this king, as he forgives the debt, there are at least a couple of things that he does. Here are the two things that this king does. First thing it says is that he had mercy on this man who owed him a great debt. He had mercy on him. And then the second thing it says is he released him of the debt. Let's take a look at each one of those briefly. First off, he had mercy on this man. Now, when someone sins against us, someone sins in general, one of the first things we often do is we reduce that person to the sin that they commit. So I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. Someone lies to you. And so what do? You label them a liar, right? You're a liar, right? We reduce them to the sin that they commit. Right? He's a liar. She is a gossip. He is a cheater. She is an extortionist, right? We reduce people to the sins that they commit. And the not-so-funny thing about it is that then when we commit those sins, we don't say, okay, well, I'm a liar, or I'm a cheat, or I steal, or whatever. We don't say that about ourselves. Instead, we say, oh, but there's an exception, right? Right. Oh, but, you know, you weren't there. You don't know the circumstances. You know, it's different for me. Right, we make exceptions for ourselves, but for other people, when they commit a sin, we reduce them to the sin that they commit. Part of my training to become a pastor, I spent a year out in Las Vegas training out there, working at a church in Sin City. Right, plenty of opportunities to see sin and reduce people to the sins that they commit. Right, if you just walk down the strip, you see a lot of it, right? You see a lot of sin, from inappropriate advertisements to people just getting high in the middle of the street, to people being passed out drunk in the middle of the day. And the easy thing to do is to look at that person and think, pathetic. What a sinner. What a drunk. Get a job. The easy thing to do is reduce them to their sin. I'm guilty of it myself. Right, but notice how the king responds in our text. He doesn't do that at all. Right? As this servant came to him and he owed him an enormous debt, notice what it says. It says, the servant's master took pity on him. Right, that's kind of a weak translation. A stronger translation, a little bit closer, would be, his heart broke for this man. Right, he had mercy on this man because his heart broke for him. Right, not he reduced this man. It doesn't say that he said, you know, you cheat, you fraud, and reduced him to his sin. But no, his heart went out to him. The more a person sins, the more we want to reduce that person to the sin that they commit. But take note of what happens here. The more a person sins, the more our heart should go out to them. The more our heart should go out to them, because the more we should see that they are caught, they are trapped, they are being dragged off and devoured by Satan and their own sinfulness. And so our hearts should go out to them. So first thing is we see that he had mercy on this man. And the second thing is he released him of his debt. Right, now that's a terribly difficult thing to do, right? When someone sins against you, to just immediately say, okay, you're forgiven, right? And just release them of the debt. What we usually do is we get a little upset, we get angry, and we may even consider how we can get back at them. Or maybe we even get back at them and react first rather than think about it first. Right, and oftentimes we do that. We repay sin with sin. And that's never the right response, is it? To repay someone with a sin because of a sin that they committed against us. When we do that, we oftentimes become what we despise. Right, so there's that scene in Star Wars Episode 3 where Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's talking to Anakin Skywalker, and he's telling him what he'd done wrong. He's telling him that, you know, you were supposed to fight for freedom and peace and democracy, and you murdered tons of innocent people. Right? Sorry for the 15-year-old spoiler. but here's what he said. He said to Anakin, you have allowed this Dark Lord to twist your mind until now you've become the very thing you swore to destroy. when we repay sin with sin, we oftentimes become the very thing we despise. I'll give you an example of that. A few years ago, I was canvassing in Eagan. I was knocking on doors and chatting with people who were maybe new or just moved in, and telling them about church. And I remember getting to this one specific house, sticks in my mind, knocked on the door, and the man of the house comes to the door and answers it. And he was maybe in his late 30s, early 40s. And I remember just in the background seeing his kids playing. I think they were his kids playing in the backyard. And so my thought was, okay, well, I'll fill him in on some of the child-friendly ministries we have at Crown of Life. So I talked about, you know, our family movie night that we have where we roast hot dogs and s'mores over a fire, and the trunk or treat that we do, and the Easter egg hunts, and all these different family-friendly ministries that we have at Crown of Life. And I remember how he responded. I will never forget. He said, "My parents, my father, he forced me to go to church as a child. And I hated him for it. I will never take my children to church." Right? Notice what he was doing there. He was mad and angry at his dad for forcing an ideology on him, a religion on him. And so his response was to force the exact opposite ideology on his children. Right? It wasn't about what was good for his children. It wasn't about whether or not they needed Jesus in their lives. It wasn't about if they needed a Christian family at a church surrounding them. It was about getting even with his dad. And in doing so, he became the very thing that he despised, forcing something onto his own children. Right? That's what we often do. Right? When we repay sin with sin, we become the thing that we despise. And so now we see, right? We see what the signs of forgiveness are, right? First off, have mercy on someone, right? Take mercy on them. And then secondly, release them of their debt. It's as simple as that, right? So go and do it. Good luck. If only it were that easy, right? If only it were that easy. But you know, probably all from experience, that it's not that easy to forgive someone. It can be terribly difficult to forgive someone when they sin against you. Just because you know the signs of forgiveness, you know how to do it, doesn't mean it's easy. We saw that last week. Just because the Corinthians knew what love really looked like didn't mean that it was what was in their heart. And so if you want to actually have a forgiving heart, you need a deep resource of forgiveness. So where is that source? Where is the source of forgiveness? Well, just consider our text one more time. Notice what happens to this servant who had been forgiven this enormous debt, right? After he's been forgiven just an enormous amount of money, he goes off and he finds one of his own servants who owes him just a tiny debt, and he holds him accountable for it. He doesn't forgive the debt at all. He holds him accountable. And as the reader is reading this, it should shock you, right? If you're anything like me, you saw it and you're like, how could he possibly be so unforgiving? After he had been forgiven so much, such an enormous debt, what a fool, how silly, how stupid of this man. And that's really the main point, isn't it? That this man, he didn't carry that forgiveness with him. Right? His own forgiveness, it's as if he just completely forgot about it. He didn't carry his forgiveness with him. So friends, that's one of the main points here, isn't it? Carrying your forgiveness with you. Remember this, that a forgiven heart is a forgiving heart. If you want to have a forgiving heart, then you need to carry your own forgiveness with you. What forgiveness, you maybe ask? Well, the forgiveness that we need for those times where we do reduce people, where we look at someone who's sinned and we look at them with disgust and we say, sinner. How could you possibly do that? Or those times where our gut instinct is to just get back at them, to get angry, get even with them. Or maybe you've done this before too. Or someone, they sin against you and you think about it and you say, okay, fine. You know what? I'm going to be the bigger person here. I'll forgive you. Right? That's not really forgiveness, is it? When you say, I'm going to be the bigger person here, what are you really doing? You're trying to push them down. You're make them feel small. You're trying to get back at them, get even, patronize them. Right? That's not really forgiveness. Friends, that's what we need forgiveness for. That's why we need a deep resource for forgiveness, because we desperately need forgiveness ourselves. And that's exactly why God sent Jesus into this world. It was to give us forgiveness, to give us that deep resource. Jesus, when he came into this world, the very Son of God, when he came into this world, notice that he didn't step into this world and think, as he saw you and me caught in our sins, he didn't say, pathetic, I could never forgive you sinners. He didn't even say, all right, fine, I'll be the bigger person here and I will die. I'll pay for your sins. No, instead, Jesus, he stepped into this world. He saw us in the filth of our own sin. And his heart went out to us. His heart went out to us because he saw us being tricked and dragged off and devoured by Satan. And so his heart broke for us. He had mercy on us. And that's exactly why he went to the cross for us, to pay the debt of our sins. And on the cross, that's exactly what he did. He paid for our sins. He said, it is finished. A simple one-word Greek word that meant your debt is paid. Right? No more payment is needed. Here is your receipt. Friends, that's what Jesus said for you. Your debt is paid. Sins forgiven. It is finished. That's the grace that God had came to give to you. And that's the grace that is extremely practical when it comes to forgiving other people in your lives as well. When you carry Jesus' forgiveness, when you carry God's forgiveness with you, it changes things. It changes you. So keep that in mind. Carry God's gracious forgiveness with you wherever you go. When you see the magnitude of the debt that you owe to God and the even greater grace and forgiveness that he has for you, it changes your heart. It melts your heart. Carry that forgiveness with you. Carry it with you as you see someone caught in their sin. Carry it with you as your heart goes out to them and breaks for them. Carry it with you as you release them of their debt, just as God has released you of yours. Amen.